97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, time to check in with the legend himself, the great Craig Bowlerjack, kind enough to carve out a few moments for us on a game day. Bowler, how the heck are you?
Hey, Bowler.
Scotty, Hans, how are you guys?
Better now. Miss you.
Yeah, better now. We're talking to you.
No, man. Hey, Hans, I want to congratulate my friend just on being a hell of a broadcaster. That's all I want to say. Let's move on.
Do you have the breaking sounder, Lloyd?
No.
can you break that now, or is it legal? I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Just wanted to try to be one of the first.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Good.
It's
official?
It's official. Well, no.
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
I do. And Bowler, I think we should break it.
I'm all for it, man. That's what radio's for, man.
It was
all for freaking news.
It was down to the top two in the state of Utah. I mean,
I thought that was in the country.
No. No, but close, you know.
Bowler, I will say this: coming from you, that means more than you'll ever know. I really appreciate that.
No, man. I wanted to be hopefully one of the first, you know, but on your time.
You know how these guys are. They tell you to keep things under wraps for a bit.
I know. It's like the Heisman vote. I totally understand.
I'm down for whatever. I'm all good. I was extremely shocked to get a phone call on Monday. I was blown away.
No. It's well deserved. The rumor, if I may say, the rumor is that Mr. Scott Girard is the Utah Sportscaster of the Year. That's what I was calling to congratulate you to. So if I get in trouble, that's fine. At least that's the rumor.
Well, I will say this, Bowler, if that in fact is the case,
as
the great Carl Malone once said when receiving an MVP, I'm just grateful you let me borrow the trophy for a year.
There you go. That's great. It's good. It's fantastic.
Oh, man, you're the best. I appreciate that.
Sure. Absolutely.
So let's talk some Jazz basketball, shall we?
Yeah, let's do. Let's figure this out.
What's going on?
Well, I tell you, you have to ask a former professional there sitting next to you with hands, but it's confidence is a thin line, and I just find it so intriguing that you can play so well and then just, you know, this is, we've had these discussions last year as well. Just the fortitude to finish, the confidence to finish, the ability, and I think the Jazz have it, to put teams away, but it's that up and down, all around type of situation that are the reason why the Jazz were 4-4. The one good positive, I think, coming out of Rudy Gobert's discussion with the media this morning is it's the rarity of having a shoot around this year. You know, even though this is game 9, the Jazz really have had a little time to get on the floor and practice and maybe just iron things out. But I thought it was good that on this road trip, you finally got a chance to step away out of the hotel room into a gym and actually get a pregame, you know, workout in. And that's a good thing, I think. I'm going to talk to Quinn about it later before the tip off tonight, just what they accomplished and maybe just to, you know, shake off some doubt. So, good team, but there's a lot of good teams in the NBA and you have to finish them. And I think you saw a team in New York that is being coached by, you know, Tom Thibodeau, who's a disciplinarian and got their attention. The Jazz let off the pedal, and you get a New York Knicks win. You blow an 18-point lead, and you get a shot at, you know, you get a shot at it again tonight. But the other part of it, too, guys, I think is just the 3-point shot. You can live and die by it, and it's a beautiful thing when it goes in. But the long rebounds, the transition, and letting, you know, the opponent knock down threes is telling. So it's a big test tonight because the Bucks are just lights out from downtown. That's going to be a big challenge for Utah.
So there was some concern that the last couple of guards that the Jazz have faced, and Kyrie Irving and Austin Rivers, and maybe you could even look at Payton to a certain extent, that they are running roughshod over the Jazz. And I think that a lot of people want to look at Royce O'Neal and his exterior defense and, you know, point the finger there and blame it on Royce. I just want to know, from your point of view, how responsible is Royce for that, and what can Royce do to be maybe a little bit more active, a little bit more physical, and a little bit more usable for the Jazz?
Well, I'll look at Royce's play, and he's a in-your-chest kind of guy. He rides you close, and if it's outside, the rotations, you know, you can talk all you want about the defensive schemes of how the Jazz run hands, but, you know, it's just not on one guy. I mean, it's Rudy coming out, which he has, and trying to sag back. And, you know, Royce is the point guy, I think, in this discussion, because he is usually put on the toughest offensive weapon that the opponent will put on the floor. So the chances of getting burned obviously is more pointed towards him, but still the Jazz play a way where, you know, you sag off, you have to get help. And, we saw a lot of times in the New York game, I think at least twice, that there were just blown defensive assignments, you know, back cuts, baseline, Rudy's up, nobody came back to fill. So all those things come into play. You know, he's rebounding the ball. When he shoots the three, he's been really, you know, really consistent from there. But again, the Jazz, if they want to be the elite team that they say they want to be, then it has to be, you know, hands, in my opinion, shared in the blame. And it's still, you know, the fact of rotating and helping. I know that sounds simple, doesn't it? But it's still, I think, at times you see the Jazz a bit confused, even though this team's been together, you know, for a couple of years now. You think they'd just be it'd be a song and dance, you know, getting it done. But I still think there's some mix-ups, and they're going to have to just figure it out. I know that doesn't sound like a promising thing for fans, but it's early, and that's the one thing that I'm seeing. The Jazz are 4-4, still in the middle of the pack of the West. There's a lot of teams right now that if you look at the standings, you just kind of scratch your head. I don't know if it's the bubble effect, the lack of preparation in the offseason, and the quick – this is game four of the last six nights. And so it's going to be that way the rest of the year. I mean, you'll get 72 games in. You're going to see a lot of back-to-backs and a lot of just every other day play. So it is what it is, and the Jazz are going to have to adjust to it.
Craig Buller, Jack, joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. I should probably not ask this question without having my theories on how the rotation should be played out, but I don't know whose minutes should be sacrificed, but I am a little surprised that you're only seeing Derek Favors out there 14 minutes a game. Are you surprised that number is not a little bit higher?
Well, you know, I think, again, it's still that work in progress, but I think Faves, you know, knows what his role is. I don't think he would have come back, Scotty, unless he knew that it was spelled out for him by Dennis and Quinn. I think you're going to see those numbers probably go up and down all year long, depending on matchups, whether small ball, if he finishes, if Gobert has foul trouble. And, you know, they were able to stay on the floor back and forth, what was it, three games ago when they both were in big foul trouble, but they were able to still, you know, back and forth in minutes and survive without fouling out. So it's great to have him because it gives the Jazz a bona fide backup. Nothing against Tony, who was still in that developmental stage, but this is a true veteran of the NBA and knows the Jazz system, and one reason why the Jazz were excited to bring him back. But, you know, I've been asked that a lot. What are the minutes for Faves? And, you know, he says he'd love to play 23, 24. Who wouldn't? Some nights he may get that and more. Other nights, I don't know if he's going to get more than 12 to 14. So it's something just to watch. And I think, again, Quinn is trying to use Rudy and Derek in the best positions he can for the matchups they have. And sometimes they may play together. I don't know. As the season goes on, this whole thing may develop, and we'll watch it develop, as I'm guessing it will.
Something I think that's really fascinating about the Jazz since Quinn Snyder got there was when the Jazz are struggling, the players take all the blame. And Quinn Snyder typically doesn't take a lot of blame. I think people have so much respect for him that they just give him credit and say, I'm sure he's doing everything he can. But do you believe that there's more that Quinn can do? Do you believe that he's on the right track, Buller? And I, as a former player, I know coaches always had some level of blame. Do you think it, some of this struggle comes back to him?
That's another good question. I think he'd be the first one to put it on himself, two hands, like a lot of coaches will try to do, take the pressure off of the players. You know, there hasn't been an eruption in these early goings. I think what you see is still calm. There's still confidence within the group. You know, the seven-game road trip probably didn't come at the greatest of times, but at the same time, the Jazz did play well, you know, on the road last year, and they got and they started playing well on the road, and they had struggles at home. You know, it's a good question. You know, I think Quinn, after the bubble, he told me, you know, and he told us all, actually, on Zoom, on the way we're doing life now, you know, through interviewing. It's hard to really get a one-on-one personal discussion going because you're sharing the screen with so many people. But I think he realized he wanted to, you know, see the pace up. He wanted to shoot the three more because of the talent level that he has. So maybe, again, as he's on the road, he pulls back and rediscovers something that he wants to do. You know, Hans, it's early, but again, this will all play out, right? It will all play out. You know, eight games now going into nine games in. And always, he kind of, I think Quinn's a guy that never panics. And I think fans do. And the questions always come up in the media about, you know, what's wrong, what can be fixed. But I've never seen him to be a panic guy. And I don't sense that right now with him or the team. But again, like I said, we're eight games in. Probably 20 games in is a pretty good mark. That would give the Jazz, what, 52 to play? It's a long season, even though it's 72 instead of 82. But I think after 20, you get a better feel for what direction you're going and how the league or how the conference is starting to kind of work its way out. Maybe a little early, but still, obviously, knowing Quinn, this discussion about what needs to be done, what can be done, is he talks about it 24/7. He's probably one of the most intense coaches I've met in my years of covering college and, you know, NFL, NBA. And he's a guy that works 24/7. If he gets an hour of sleep, I'm surprised on this road trip.
Craig Buller, Jack, joining us right here on the Zone Sports Network. So you brought up an interesting point. You know, I know the old adage in baseball is you know who you are around Memorial Day. In basketball, you said about 20 games. Is that where you kind of put it, as when you get a good vibe for who a team is?
Yeah, I mean, look, Boyan's coming off wrist surgery, and he doesn't look right. And that's pretty clear for anybody watching. And, you know, he put a brace on the other night when he played well. And then it's just the inconsistency of his game. I'm not a believer he's forgot how to shoot. I think, Hans, as you know, the confidence factor, you think pro athletes or amateur athletes as well. I mean, I tell you, confidence, you know, it's thin. And I think right now he's just trying to gauge. Coming back from an injury, and Hans, you can speak to this. And, you know, with my short stay with knees and stuff, you know, trying to figure out who you are, what you are, if you fall. You want to fall. You want to put the hand on the floor. I wanted to put my leg on the ground again just so when I knew I got up from having, you know, ACL reconstruction, I said, oh, wow, man, I survived that. So now you move on. I think after a while, you know, you just have to – that night that you forget it hurts or the night you forget it wasn't a big issue is the night you're back. I'm not sure he's there yet, Hans. I really don't.
I agree with that. And there is something to that, Buller, with that first heavy jab step that you take on that leg that's repaired, the ankle that was ripped up, the hand that was broken. I had pins put in my hand, and 3 weeks in, had to get back out on the field. And, you know, you throw that hand up into the pad, and it's a lot of pain. But then eventually there comes a time where you've taken enough painkillers. So you throw the hand up there. It doesn't break. It doesn't cause you pain to want to pull the hand back, and you leave it up there, and you think, all right, here we go. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's a fine line of confidence and just forgetting about it. And when you finally realize you played a whole game and it wasn't even a factor in your mind, then you start to say, I'm back. And it has to be, you know, on a consistent basis, too. So part of that, I think all eyes on Boyan. And then, of course, all eyes on Donovan, who wants to lead this team, and, you know, he's had some struggles as well. So the three ball, like I said, when it works, it's a beautiful thing, and everybody really gets excited about it. There's a lot of talent on this team that can actually knock down the three, but what I've always been surprised about with the Jazz, it seems like it becomes the flu. It's like not just one or two guys are off. It seems like the whole rotation of the threes is off. And I don't know if that's because it's pressure, if it stops the rotation. Because when the Jazz move the ball, it's a beautiful thing. You know, it's just the way it is, and the open shot is there. I think Donovan especially has been forced to some late shot clock, shots, three-point shots, hands and Scotty, which, again, is disruptive in the flow. And, players in this game is all about rhythm. And I don't think the Jazz have had the consistent rhythm they have to have if they're going to be an elite team.
Bowler, can't thank you enough for coming on. You're a great guy, man. I appreciate it. And
hey, man,
thanks again for everything.
You know, it's Friday, right hands, TGIF, and Scotty's the man. And that's the way it should be.
It's time to let the hair down. Make some announcements.
There's no hair to be let down. Those days are behind us.
Well, Scotty, look, man, you can let, unbutton a shirt one button. Yeah, that's kind of getting...
Yeah, he's doing more than that in his hotel room.
Yeah, you'll like this, Bowler. I'm in Lubbock, Texas, because Utah State's playing New Mexico, and they won't let him play in the pit because of the COVID restrictions in the state of New Mexico. So we are now playing these two games in Lubbock, Texas, of all places.
I've been there, and I do miss the pit. Called a couple of games myself in one of the most harsh environments in college basketball.
Oh, yeah.
During the day. Yeah. There, and it still has a great flavor to it. And I know you'd miss that. The Pitt versus Lubbock. I mean, come on. I mean, it's
yeah, we're playing a Mountain West Conference game between two Mountain West Conference teams that should be playing in the Pitt. And
yeah,
we're playing at Lubbock Christian University that seats about, I don't know, it's a community college that probably, and they're not letting any fans in, but the arena itself, I should call it a gymnasium, seats about 600. There's probably a good majority of high school gyms in Utah that seat more than where we're at right now. So, 2021,
that's why,
man.
Scotty in hands. That's why he's at the top of his game right now.
100%, man.
See, it's the adjustments. Bully. It's the adjustments you have to make to continue the perfection of your craft, and that's what you're doing, my friend.
Looks like we might have lost Scotty. Bowler.
Did I get cut off?
No, yeah. I think Scotty might have dropped. Bowler, seriously.
Sounds like he dropped off.
You're the best. Or maybe Scotty's just bowing out and saying, man, maybe I'd have just let Bowler take
it. Oh, I love it, man. But no, hands, great. Have a great weekend, man. Good chat, and we'll see you soon.
Sounds great, Bowler. Thank you so much.
All right, buddy.
There you go. Craig Bowler, Jack.